Welcome to Governor Tim Pawlenty's podcast from the great state of Minnesota. Governor Pawlenty and Minnesota National Guard Adjutant General Larry Shelato held a press conference June 19th to announce that the Minnesota National Guard's 1st Brigade Combat Team has received confirmation they will be departing Iraq and returning home to Minnesota. All of the roughly 2,600 Minnesota National Guard soldiers in the 1st Brigade Combat Team are expected to be home by August 1st, with most returning in mid to late July. Governor Pawlenty and General Shelato discussed the process whereby troops leaving Iraq will first arrive back at Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, for a formal military demobilization. Part of that process includes turning in their equipment, reviewing their personnel records, and undergoing medical evaluations. It is also when soldiers begin the Minnesota National Guard's pioneering program, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, designed to change how soldiers are reintegrated back into their communities, jobs, schools, and families. The demobilization process is expected to take between 5 and 8 days per unit.
The good news is that the 1st Brigade Combat Team has received confirmation that they'll be departing Iraq in waves in the coming weeks, and that's very good news. It's welcome news and expected news. As you know, this brigade has been in Iraq a very long time. They were initially to be boots on the ground 12 months, but they were extended, and that was on top of approximately 6 months of training at Camp Shelby, Mississippi. So this is a very long deployment for the men and women who are serving in our 1st Brigade Combat Team from the Minnesota National Guard. We are counting on Minnesota to welcome back these wonderful warriors with open arms and loving hearts. There's a variety of ways that we're going to encourage Minnesota to do that. One aspect of that is to continue to focus on our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon campaign and the reintegration efforts that General Shelato and his team have been heading up. They are well underway, and now we are moving those efforts from planning and discussion to actual implementation, and he'll describe that more, and there's a variety of components to that. It's important that everybody remember that the reintegration of these soldiers is not just at the moment they return or the days that follow. It's going to take weeks and months and maybe in some cases years to make sure that the reintegration effort is complete and fulfilled. And it's going to vary from soldier to soldier as to the needs of that soldier or their family, but we want to make sure that we are available and active and fully mobilized for them and for their families. So it is a great day to welcome back these heroes, but also to remember those who could not return with them. As you know, this unit received a number of casualties. There's a number of members of this unit who will not be returning, who paid the ultimate price with their service and their sacrifice for their country and in this mission. There are also others who are returning with physical injuries or limitations that they're going to have to bear the burden of for an extended period of time and maybe the rest of their life. And so we have a lot of work to do as a state in welcoming them home. A couple of quick things to remember that, as General Shelato will explain in just a moment, these individuals will be coming back in waves or segments beginning real soon and then kind of taking place over the next weeks and month or so. As they return, they'll first go to Fort McCoy in Wisconsin, and then they'll come back to Minnesota. And as they come back to their home communities or home armories, we want to make sure that we encourage people to come out and cheer and yell, but as quickly as possible after they get off the bus, we want to make sure that they're dismissed and can get to their family. So there'll be time later for ceremonies or more official programs, and General Shelato will address that in more detail. So we want to encourage people to cheer and yell, but we want to get these soldiers to their immediate family members and loved ones as soon as possible after they get off the bus. So we'll defer slightly the other activities beyond that. It's also important that as this war continues that we remember that there are individuals serving beyond the 1st Brigade Combat Team. We have members in the reserve. We have members of the active military. As they deploy and come home, they don't always do it in large groups. They do it in ones and twos and threes and tens. And so we shouldn't forget that there's a deployments and returns of those individuals as well, and their service is equally important to our state and our nation, and we want to remember that. We also want to make sure that people realize that there are other Guard units besides the 1st Brigade Combat Team who also continue to serve and will be called upon to serve as well. We have people in Afghanistan, and we have other units that have recently deployed to Iraq. And so the 1st Brigade Combat Team deserves our full and enthusiastic and full attention. But we also want to make sure we remember and equally support all the others who are serving as well.
Since their mobilization on active duty in October 2005, and through their move into Iraq in March 2006, and throughout an unexpected 125-day extension, these 2,600 men and women have performed admirably in the face of much danger and hardship. Collectively, as a team of 5,000 strong, with troops from 22 other states, the active component army, and the other military services, the Red Bulls, as they call themselves, the Desert Bulls, have made a lasting mark in military history. Here are but a few of the countless highlights. Away from their homes for 22 months, and with 16 months of that in a combat zone, the 1st Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division is the longest deployed unit to have served in Operation Iraqi Freedom. As a side note, I will add, the 34th also has the longest sustained combat operations of World War II. As the Theater Security Brigade, these brave soldiers drove over 4,500 convoy escort missions, racking up more than 2.2 million miles. The citizens of Iraq will remember the Red Bulls for generations, as 107 reconstruction projects worth $22 million of improved roads, improved water and schools, and generated electricity. This duty in Iraq came at a heavy cost, with 9 Minnesotans from the brigade making the ultimate sacrifice. For those who have lost loved ones, we again offer our solemn condolences and stand committed to support their families, their friends, fellow soldiers, and communities as we continue to mourn their loss.
To learn more about any of the subjects addressed in this podcast, please visit Governor Pawlenty's website at www.governor.state.mn.us. Also, be sure to regularly check the governor's website for more podcasts from Governor Pawlenty.